Over the last couple of messages, well, last week we were in Romans, but before that we've been in Corinthians. We've been talking about the issue that Paul brought up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about baptism. And every time I think I'm through, I just find other stuff as I read Corinthians that I think are important that we don't miss. And so today I'm going to try to get through with it. And there's some things that as I studied this week that just came to me that I've never seen before. The Bible becomes so much more clear. And I hope you get where I'm going this morning, because I had to struggle for a long time when it dealt with things that I did growing up and things that were talked about growing up. It was embedded in my mind that we were Israel when we were saved, that we were a spiritual Israel, but yet the word never mentions it. But there were things that were always brought up that dealt with things like baptism, the Lord's Supper, conversation of circumcision, and those things were always brought up, and they were shared, I believe, wrongly. And so through this, I hope that you get, when you walk out of here, to where you can know why Paul did those things. Because as I learned under the grace message, I still saw that there were things that the Apostle Paul did that we don't practice today, and that as a matter of fact are not necessary. But you got to continue to remember, through the Word of God, there is progressive revelation. That means things continue to change in the way things were done for doctrine, or the way that God dealt with man, a dispensation, until we were complete in Christ, until the Word became complete and it was finished. And so there are things that Paul writes as the Word was not completed, the differences in his epistles when he was not in prison, and the differences in his epistles when he's in prison. There are some differences. Would you agree? And so that is why you'll see people take the book of Acts and they'll say, okay, this is the doctrine. There's not doctrine in there. There's Acts. There are things that they were doing, and Paul was reaching out to his own also, not just Gentiles. And so there were things that he continued doing until God would show him differences. And we're going to see this in the Scriptures. As I did that this week and I started studying different areas through the concordance, I saw some things that we didn't make heavy on baptism, but there were some things he did as far as speaking in tongues also. And we're going to touch on that, but I think we'll put them together and it may make some sense. But before we get there, we got to remember a few things that we learned a few weeks ago. Because we always thought that Jesus was baptized, that Israel was baptized, and everybody used to always think that Israel and Jesus were baptized for the same reasons. We saw a couple of weeks ago that's not the case. Israel was baptized for a totally different reason than why Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized to fulfill prophecy, to do the things that he was supposed to do, to be identified with Israel. Israel was baptized for what? For the remission of sins. So even they weren't baptized the same, but all across America today, people are being baptized and they're acting like it's the same way Jesus did it, the same way Israel did it. Well, they had different reasons why they did it. And today, Paul speaks of one baptism, and that's a Holy Spirit baptism. You have nothing to do with it. The Holy Spirit does it all. And so people today are being deceived and beguiled, and Satan uses the Word of God and man, who leans on his own understanding, to confuse. So those are things we need to remember. There are some things that we have no part of today, but were meant for Christ and for Israel. And I hope you see that. 1 Corinthians 1:13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So we see that many were drawn by who they liked, not by what was necessary for today. Not on what was right for their doctrine. It was who they were following by who baptized them. We talked about this over a few weeks. A lot of people, Paul was asking the question, whether it's Paul or whether it's Cephas or Apollos or whoever. And they were following man. They were basing their baptism on the doctrine of the time of the one that had baptized. There were many that following man, they were saying, we're baptized by him and we're baptized by him. And they start following the way their dispensation was on who they were baptized by. Just like denominations today. They were following Paul after the flesh and not after the Spirit. They weren't baptized unto Paul, but they were baptized unto Christ. Christ is the issue when it comes to baptism today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, Christ is the foundation. And in this letter that Paul was writing, people were building on what man was doing and not Christ being the foundation. They were following man and how man used to do it. Paul was touching on this because they had all these instructors that were teaching wrongly. And I started noticing the last water baptism that takes place with Paul is Acts 18. But you always hear the arguments as you go through life, well, Paul baptized. But the last baptism you'll see with water was in Acts 18. Acts 18:1. We're going to follow Paul's water baptism and see why did Paul baptize if there's one baptism today and Paul was given the dispensation of grace, given the mystery to us. Acts 18:1 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. It says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now you don't see any more that Paul baptizes again after this. But why was Paul baptizing here? First of all, remember, it was an early on ministry. He hadn't been in prison and written anything yet from the prison ministries. These prison epistles were after Acts 28. And so there was a difference as things happened. In Ephesians, he says one baptism, prison epistles. Remember, in the Acts period, he did other works also. He healed and did other signs and wonders and miracles. The word was not complete, and this is what the Jews required. Now, where would Paul go when he was in Acts? He would always go where first? To the Jews. How would the Jews believe who Paul was? That he even believed that Jesus was the Messiah. What did the Jews require? Signs and wonders. So they wouldn't have believed him at all. But not only that, we've got to remember, as Paul went into these synagogues, what Jews did he see? Believing Jews? That Jesus was the Messiah? No. There were some of his kinsmen who he was brought up with. There were Jews and Gentiles both in these synagogues, and he wanted to reach out to these that did not believe, that if you go back to Stephen when they were martyred, that they had blasphemed. And the only way they could be saved was by Paul's message. And so Paul continued these signs because things hadn't changed, and I'll show you why. The word was not complete, and this is what the Jews required. He always went to the Jew first, and he had a hope that they would be saved also. The Jews at this time in the synagogue were not the flock. They were unbelieving Jews. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Now in the prison epistles, the signs and wonders had ceased. I'll give you an example. I just want you to get progressive revelation.
So you got from Acts chapter 9 through 28, you got Paul that had received this ministry, but it continued to go to Israel. And so you also have, before his prison epistles, how was the church edified? The word wasn't complete. God gave what? Many gifts. And so these people had these gifts to edify the church for their doctrine so they would believe. That's where you have a progressive revelation. So things continue as the word was beginning to be more and more complete. Well, so Paul also, as he went from Acts 9 through 28, he would continue to do some things for the Jews. And you'll notice what he said in Acts 18, I've done what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to the Gentiles now. He wanted them to know that this Jesus was the Christ.
That's what you see. But when Paul is in prison, his epistles changed. To give you an example, in the prison epistles, the signs and wonders had ceased. You remember when Timothy was sick, what was he told to do? Was he healed? He was told to take a little wine for his stomach, for his ailment. Those things stopped. Something in the program changed between Corinthians when he was doing these things in Acts 18 and the point he was in prison. And those are things important for you to defend the gospel and to be able to preach. There's only one baptism that you need to know. If you don't study the Word, you won't know. And you won't understand Scriptures. And it's easy to be deceived and confused. You have to continue to remember, progressive revelation didn't stop until the Word was complete. Then we're complete in Him. Things of Acts are no longer being manifested after Acts chapter 28. The books of Acts was to be a witness not only to Gentiles, but to unbelieving Jews. With the dispensation of grace on the scene, the nation of Israel was no longer a favored nation.
A lot of people say, well, we're Israel, and this is where the church started, and they go before Acts 9. And it's not as if Israel was no longer on the scene anymore when the dispensation of grace came. Nobody had to go through Israel. God still dealt with Israel, but nobody went through Israel. And you'll see that going through Acts 9 through 28.
Israel was no longer a favored nation. You didn't have to go through Israel to be saved. They were no longer a channel of blessings for the rest of the earth. Before chapter 9, for the earth to be blessed, what did you have to do? You had to bless Israel, didn't you? Well, that had changed. Nothing had happened like that before. God set them aside to fulfill a purpose unto the Gentiles. And that's what Paul was saying. There was a dispensational change, but there was still progressive revelation to fulfill that which God's going to fulfill with the Gentile nation. But just because He wasn't dealing through them didn't mean He wasn't dealing with them. And so through the book of Acts, you'll see Paul going into the synagogues and sharing that Jesus was the Christ. And they could believe because Paul could do signs and wonders. He could do healings and miracles. There were things that he could do so that these Jews, these unbelieving Jews would say, he does know. Here's proof. Isn't it amazing? Christ showed the same proof when he walked the earth. And what did they do? They crucified him. They didn't believe. But there was still a chance that they could be saved through Paul's message. Paul spoke to his own, but as you follow Acts, you'll continue to see it diminishes. He wanted them to wake up. Remember what we've been reading last week in Romans chapter 13? It said, wake up, for the time is nigh. That's what he wanted for these Jews that he knew. He loved them. He even mentions in Romans that he was to provoke them to jealousy. See, Paul's ministry from Acts 9 through 28 wasn't just, okay, here's the dispensation of grace for you to believe. Now this is how God's dealing with you. He had unbelief in Israel also. And even his ministry to Israel was a provoking ministry. It was to make them jealous. Think about it. Through all the years before, they had a favored nation status, didn't they? For a Gentile to know their God, who was the real God, what did he have to do? He had to take everything that Israel did and become as Israel. And then think about it. Thousands of years go by, and all of a sudden, they no longer have most favored nation. They have fallen. And now, Paul, who was crucifying people for the name of Jesus, who was Saul, now has been saved and has received this mystery, and it's going to Gentiles. Do you not think that would irritate those of Israel that all their life had thought, well, they're to come to us? We have this special talent. We have these things that God did for us. We have this ability to be blessed. It was over. And so Paul was giving it to not only going through the nation of Israel into the synagogues, but he would go to the Gentiles, and it would provoke them to jealousy. That's what he wanted to do, so they would believe, so they could receive this message. He wanted them to wake up. During this period in Acts, he always goes into the synagogues first. He tells them that Jesus was the Christ. Some believe and become the body of Christ, don't they? We saw this right here in Acts 18. Most don't believe, and he declares that he's going to who? To the Gentiles. Go to Acts 13:44 with me. I'll show you every time he declares, I'm going to the Gentiles. We'll stay in Acts real quick. Just one of those things I thought, wow, I never noticed that before, and it's exciting to me when I see something new. But to get there, we got to build to it. You've got to understand why Paul was baptizing, why he was doing these things. It wasn't that Israel was just cut off. They could be saved through Paul's message. And he loved them. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." What did he say? He's going to the Gentiles. We read in Acts 18, he shook his raiment and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean from henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles." After witnessing, notice, the vessel is clean. He is telling them that they have fallen. He's going through there every time and he's sharing, this is what's happening. He's giving them proof. Go to Acts 28, verse 23. It says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Now look, I think it's only fair to just do this one time. To make sure y'all get this, let's just go on through. I'll be done by about 6 or 7 tonight, if y'all just be patient with me. Could you imagine him expounding them scriptures from morning to evening? You know why? He was telling them things that they knew. People love it. Nobody parts something as long as you tell them what they know and they agree with you. And so from morning till evening, they're all sitting around, "You're right, Paul. You're right, Paul." And then he builds all the way up to where they're at right now in this progressive revelation to let them know, no more, and this is how it is. Now notice, verse 24, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, 'Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, the prophet unto our fathers.'" You know what Paul's doing? He goes back to what they already knew. And he's reminding them what the prophet Esaias said. He says, "Saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people," notice who he's bringing up, "is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves." You know what they did? They opposed themselves, and they leaned on their own understanding, didn't they? And Paul said, "I'm going to the Gentiles." Paul had done what he was supposed to do. He provoked them, and through Acts 9 through 28, he continued to do these things. And it says in verse 30, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him." After this, the Jews was a diminished hope. There was no more hope for them. And Paul went in there from Acts 9 through 28. And you can see in 13, 18, and 28, he lets them know who he's going to. This fits so well if you go to Romans 11, 11. "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine own office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Why do you think Paul went to synagogue? He wanted them to know this message too. The reason we say that Paul brings up baptism in 1 Corinthians, that's from Acts 18. He was doing those things. He had a provoking ministry also for those that he loved to be saved also. And he gave signs and wonders and miracles. And there were things done to edify the church and gifts given because the word wasn't yet complete. And so when you read the book of Corinthians, you got to understand things had not fully developed yet. And I'll show you what I mean. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 23 say, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." You can go back to the burning bush and know from then on what the Jews required. Do you realize that? I mean, you can probably go further back than that. That's what they knew. They went all the way back and would do that. In 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse verse 21. I'm going to bring this all together in just a minute. The Apostle Paul says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Notice the word "this people" in Israel. Now here's the thing.
Paul would do these things that Israel had always done. And then when he'd go to the Gentile, what would happen? The Gentile would receive these gifts too, wouldn't they? Because there was a progressive revelation. The Word of God wasn't completed. Some were given gifts. What do you think that did to Israel? When John the Baptist baptized the people in the river, what happened to the religious people? What did they do? And they came out of the woodwork, didn't they? They were ticked off. "What are you doing?" What would he say? "You don't understand." But they were jealous. They were provoked. It's the same picture with what Paul does here. Israel's now is ignored. He's going to the Gentiles. He's starts doing those things that only Israel could do. And what would he do? He'd provoke them to what? Jealousy. It wasn't just baptism. It was with tongues too. Paul had a provoking ministry. Hopefully, by emulation, that even some of them would be saved. And some weren't. But that's why Paul, you see in Corinthians, before he was in the prison ministry, he was given those gifts to do those things to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And to provoke his own. Because in 1 Corinthians, where was he at? In Acts 18. He was still going to the synagogues and then to the Jews. Don't y'all not think this is awesome? Well, it's just lay on baptism, baptism, baptism. Can you imagine being an Israelite that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah? And you still go to the synagogue and you still practice your works and your religious stuff. And all of a sudden Paul comes in and he shows you that, hey, I believe this too. And then he just kicks you off because some don't believe. And so then he's going to the Gentiles and they start doing the same works that they have. That'd freak you out, wouldn't it? And so did you notice in
1 Corinthians chapter 14 where he says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not."
Those people could speak tongues, and it was to those that believed not. So could you see Paul leaving the synagogue? Others could speak tongues, not for their belief, prove that they believed, but it was to show those Jews that were unbelievers that they believed not. That verse always confused me,
and it just made sense to me is what it did. Notice and remember, Paul at this time had a ministry that would also provoke those Jews who didn't believe. He could use signs, he would speak to the Jews, and they wouldn't believe. He would then, in the same area, speak to Gentiles, and they would believe, and can even do signs to edify and build up the church. Could you see these Jews saying, "Hey, that's for us"? Can you see that? Well, the same in baptism. Could you not see those saying, "Hey, that's for us. We from Apollos and we're from Cephas"? Remember when John baptized and the Pharisees came out and they said, "Hey," they remembered the times past. And John provoked them. What do you think it did to Israel when Paul baptized these that believed? Because he did it in Acts 18 also. He did it in front of these at the synagogue. See, this is in the heart of Acts where Paul had a provoking ministry. You have to know where you are in this book to understand what's going on. If you just pick up 1 Corinthians and just read it, and you see these things that Paul did, and you don't understand the Word, it will confuse you and deceive you. And men that lean on their own understanding will stand behind a pulpit and they'll say, "This is what you need to do because in 1 Corinthians, this is what they did." Yeah, but Ephesians says one baptism. Well, I know, but that was that one baptism at that time, but this is what it says here. You got to know where you're at in the book, church, so you can understand the Scriptures. After Acts 28, this is over. This is why people struggle with Acts. Doctrine cannot be found in Acts. Don't ever let anybody show you doctrine through Acts. In fact, not all of Paul's epistles speak direct doctrine. There is history, and there's things that were not yet completed through the Word yet either. Paul baptized and did works as a witness to the Jews. A couple of scriptures real quick. 2 Corinthians 12:1. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So did Paul have all the mystery and all the revelations in Acts 9? Absolutely not. It says, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Acts 26:15. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul's going back. He's telling the story. And in Acts 26, he takes you back to Acts 9. And look, he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. But in verse 16, what's he say? He mentioned this about going back to Acts 9. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, those things he saw in Acts 9, and of those things in the which I will appear. So we see that baptism is definitely a controversial issue today, isn't it? Think it was back then? Absolutely. In fact, it's a denominational setting is what it is. Denominations are made by man, by the way. And every time there's a controversy of baptism, it just brings out another denomination. Because men are going to say, well, I'm going to believe it this way. You believe it how you will. I'm not going to argue with you. We'll just go this way. Steve said, well, we had a deacon's meeting the other night, and they said, well, did you have a split? And he says, no, we were able to start three more churches. They had three deacons, by the way. Many say water baptism even saves you. Many have fought literally over it. But we know the last time it was spoken of with what Paul mentions in Ephesians. And if you follow progressive revelation, you'll notice Ephesians is written well after Acts 28. So what do? Do you back up and say, I like this one? Or do you go to progressive revelation and what was the last thing the Holy Spirit gave Paul as far as baptism? Or do you say, well, we follow Moses? Surely, if you think about it, and you follow the Scriptures through the progression, you can't find after what Ephesians says there's one baptism, any other water baptism isn't spoken of, except for those things written to Israel, can you? And so which one's right? If the Word of God is perfect, and it is, and I believe it is, surely you're not going to go back. See, to go forward and see what was written last would fit with truth, wouldn't it? As anything else.
It's one baptism and it's not wet. You do nothing and the Holy Spirit does it all. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Today, when people are baptized with water, you know what they're following? The tradition of men. After the rudiments, that word never hit me until this study. That word rudiments, I just run right through it. That word rudiments means so much when he says that. You know what rudiments are? Go back to Leviticus. The law. The way they did things. And he says, this is Colossians 2:8, which was written after Leviticus, in case you don't know. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Paul says, you better beware. You better watch out. Can you watch out if you're never in your Word and you don't understand how to read it? Absolutely not. Paul says, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Well, this is why they did it. If he can't show you in Scripture, don't believe it. He says, through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Do you see what he just separated? The things how it used to be, and the things of Christ. The rudiments of the world. He says, and ye are complete in Him. That means that you're complete. The Word's complete. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You say, you don't think that irritated the unbelieving Jews who were still waiting on the Messiah? Say, I'm circumcised without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You know what Paul just saying? Everything that pertained to Israel, which was water baptism, everything that pertained to Christ walking on the earth and the earthly ministry that was for Israel, that was going to save Israel, is going to come back. But you're complete in Christ. You're the body. And you better beware of the rudiments of this world. You know what the rudiments of this world are? People that teach wrongly and give you a list of things to do in order for your salvation. And you better beware. It says, well, this is where we mess up. We say, well, I understand why you do that. And I'm just not going to argue. We just believe this way. You're a deceiver and you beguile people if you let them get away with it. And you're not showing love in any way. If you lose a relationship with them, at least you finally got to share the truth. So just maybe in the back of their head, they may think about it and it may provoke them in a way that they need to be saved. See, where we miss the mark is we tiptoe around these subjects that should bring out arguments and conversations and debates that maybe one out of 30 might get saved. And that's much better than none out of 30. Would you agree? So I challenge this body of believers, if you're going to love somebody, don't deceive them. And out of love and out of being tender, show them the truth. The only way you can show them the truth is if you can defend the truth. And if you don't know what 1 Corinthians talks about, when they ask you, well, Paul did it, then you've got to study and ask questions and get in the Word. I'm telling you, it's not popular. There's a lot of people that don't like me that used to like me. But I can think back and I can think of some that I was able to show this truth to and I saw their life change too. That's exciting. And it's worth it all. Is it worth it all to you? Only you can answer that question.